Hello, and welcome to another edition of Harry Balzac Drops In, where I delve into the lives of some of the people who keep this galaxy turning, metaphorically. This week I'm talking to one of the unseen heroes that work on the ships that ply their trade by taking people from place to place, and sometimes back to the first place. His job title is Guest Happiness Index Raiser, and he's called Dirk Matter. Hello, Dirk. This looks like a lively place.
There you are, Barry. We're always busy. No sooner have we docked and unloaded that it's time to take more people and cargo on board and take off. I don't know how we could do all of our safety checks that quickly, but it's company policy here at Orion Air. You'd think it was a glamorous life aboard a luxury liner, wouldn't you? Meeting interesting people, visiting exotic places. Well, it's not like that. Far from it. My job is a sort of a cross between the old 21st century cabin steward and air steward with a bit of bar steward thrown in.
Can you give me an example?
In our ship, that the captain has whimsically nicknamed the Golden Fleece, we generally do one of two types of cruise. VIPs or mass transit. What I call knobs or numbers. The VIPs are the worst. They have absolutely no concept of distance. Can you get me a loaf of bread from Hutton Orbital, they say? And get it in the next 5 minutes, or I'll give you a one-star review on Trip Sympathiser. One wanted to bring on a giant Momus bog spaniel as an emotional support animal. It were my emotions that needed supporting after meeting that monster. Another time, we were halfway to Colonia when the selfish sod asks if we can go back to see if he has left his sunglasses at the port. We get our fair share of requests to transport a businessman and his niece somewhere. Seems to me it's always to a planet in a different jurisdiction, if you get my drift. No idea why two people need a whole cabin like that. And don't get me started on the people who want to go and see the sights. See the sights? All they do is look at the flaming tourist beacon. They never go and visit the site itself. Well, that'd mean leaving the ship, wouldn't it? It's like they're playing some kind of game where they have to collect the set. That's rich people for you. The nouveau rich, that is. These new void opal tycoons aren't like the old imperials who got rich the proper way by inheriting from their parents. The Duvals used to ask for me by name when they came on board. They were lovely people. They never asked me to make their dowel animals perform unnatural acts. Back in those days, we wouldn't take wanted passengers, unless they were from the Imperial families, of course. I'm fed up with hiding the wanted passengers in a cupboard when we arrive, trying to evade the scan while simultaneously shivering my bum off as the pilots engage silent running and pop to heatsink.
Sounds horrible. So does that mean you prefer the lower stress of transporting lots of people?
No, that's worse than the worst. We back them like sardines in there, but I tell thee, it's got a bit better recently. Before that, the owners would insist that we stack passengers way past the safety limit. When we'd accepted all the transport missions that were available, the captain would exit the station and put on a wig or a pair of glasses or a stick-on moustache, then redock and try to persuade the people in the station that this was an entirely new ship and we should have more transport missions. And guess which Muggins always got the short straw and had to go outside to paint over the ship's name? An upgrade to the port security scanners stopped that little game, and I for one am really glad.
Are there problems with having so many passengers on board?
There can be. A beluga is like a flying city, but with fewer toilets. If the passengers don't use the sonic hand sanitizers, there's a danger of a space contagion, and the end result makes Brown Sunday look like a baby's accident. When that happens, we have no end of problems with the port authorities. It's embarrassing to be stuck in quarantine, passengers getting irate. We've lost a few bonuses that way. Every so often, the artificial gravity fails, or the pilot boosts out of the torch rack without telling anyone. Then we're chasing vomit round cabins using a net, as if we were chasing smelly, wet butterflies. I think the passengers bring it on themselves. The sight of Imperial stuffing their faces while basking at the buffet is enough to induce biliousness in anyone. There are other clean-up jobs as well. Many of the passengers are not exactly in the first flush of youth, as you might say. And inevitably, for some, this is their last trip. Well, almost the last, as we can't just leave them to roll around the ship inconveniencing people. We place them reverently into a spare escape pod and launch it into the blackness of space.
Do you say a few words?
Aye, we do. Usually. I hope we still have enough escape pods if there's an emergency. We have some moments of excitement, like when the pilot decides we're going to help out at a burning station. Or we never get asked, are we ready to perform a humanitarian mission? It's just next stop, third circle of hell. And when the passengers get on board, are they grateful? Are they heckers like? It's, can you get me a blanket? I'm feeling cold. Of course you're cold. You've just been in a station that's on fire. And you're dressed for that, you lummox. I hate those runs. We always have problems taking off. The damn passengers won't sit down. They're too busy trying to film the destruction outside to realise that we're in danger of being rather intimately involved in it at any moment. I ask you, missions that say seek and transport, what are we, a flaming replacement bus service? Then there are other, I'd better fetch my spare uniform moments. Such as the pilot forgetting to deploy the landing gear when we're coming in on a 5G planet. Or accidentally switching off the thrusters at an inopportune moment. The Flossie manoeuvre, as I believe it's called. But mostly, it's fairly boring. I'm fed up with explaining to passengers. No, I did not work on the Starship Titanic. Or stopping the drunk ones from opening the airlock because they think it's a toilet. And there's one word. If I never hear it again, it'll be too soon.
What's that?
Robigo. It was so boring that we had to amuse ourselves by making funny announcements like, ladies and gentlemen, please be patient with your cabin crew while they carry out the in-flight service. Even toilets can only serve one arse at a time. Or, as you may know, this space line has a policy of asking for volunteers to help clean the ship. If you wish to volunteer for this duty, once we have landed, please stand up before we switch off the seatbelt sign. Or,
the lemon is in play.
Or, ladies and gentlemen, on our port side, we are passing by a liner which is being operated by our rival, Squeezierjet. So please, would you all look out of the left-hand windows so that it looks like we have a full ship.
Talking of announcements.
Yeah, you mean. And don't forget, this liner is in the top 1% of all liners out there. I feel like such an idiot when I do that. But it's in the contract with Sal Kruger. Apparently it's some kind of lease arrangement. Bonkers, if you ask me. People ignore it. Just like they never look to see where their nearest exit is, or watch how to fit their Remlock mask. Mind you, we've had some limited success with the new Olovids that we've made. We thought we'd branch out, and we decided to use a bit of humour, because we're desperate. They feature Cecil trying to work out how to fasten his safety belt, trying to drink while wearing his Remlock, sitting next to someone who's been made up to look like Aisling Duval, and resetting her acceleration couch, thus making her spill her drink all over herself, and seeing him sneak down Tuck Gallery to find a mega gin bottle, whilst everyone else is making their way down the emergency chute. People watch them now, but they've no bloody idea what it's telling them. Look, I'd better go. That snotty-nosed pop star in cabin 3 won't settle until I've arranged all of his complimentary cosmetics into a pyramid lined up on the pole star. And I've heard that some distant third cousin of the Emperor will let his ling-lang loose in the corridor. God, I hope that's not a euphemism.
Thank you, Dirk. Dirk Matter, everyone. Nothing is too much trouble for him, he tells me. Really, nothing is too much trouble. And that's all from this edition of Harry Balzac Drops In. Next time I'm planning to speak to the operator of the authorised craft-only entrance at Hutton Orbital, if I can manage to drag him away from his busy schedule.